You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Millions came out in the weekend all around the world for the Women's March to show their opposition to President Trump. Many showed their support for the cause with sex organ-based imagery. For example, there are signs and slogans that referenced vaginas and uteruses, and there were also a number of people wearing pink pussy hats. But some have come out criticising such symbolism for being exclusionary. Earlier this morning, I spoke to trans activist Scout Barbara Evans about the issue. They started off with a disclaimer about their position in relation to the weekend's protest.
I didn't attend the protest because I was in Invercargill and we didn't know while I was in Invercargill that there was going to be one down there. So, like, either way, I wasn't in attendance, but I do want to make clear that I'm one of the more privileged trans people out there, especially in New Zealand, and that my perspective gets shared a lot, but there are people whose perspective does not get shared so much. And that for them, what might be my truth is not necessarily theirs.
Absolutely. Thanks for that. I think that's good to kind of establish from the beginning before we get into it. So my first question, so the protests in the weekend all over the world, they featured a lot of sex organ-based imagery. Can you talk me through how symbolism such as this can be considered exclusionary?
Yes, so the transgender community, we're all in different situations with whether or not we've transitioned or what we eventually want to do or what about our bodies feels right and what might feel wrong. And for a lot of transgender people who are both, I guess, non-binary people like myself or trans women or trans men, they find that being told that this is the genitalia that a woman has or these are the reproductive sex organs that a woman has is putting them in this box that they have to have these or they're not a real woman when, or they are a real woman when, you know, a trans man is very much not a woman or a trans woman is, you know, very much still a woman despite what genitals she has.
And have you had feedback from other people that they felt alienated at the event in the weekend or that they perhaps didn't go because of this exclusive nature?
I've had a lot of mixed feedback. There were a lot of trans people who went along and, you know, felt a bit uncomfortable, so they didn't wear the hat. There were others that were, I guess, just as upset as I was. I know I did get quite upset because the dysphoria that I was experiencing from seeing that and from sort of feeling like the imagery was telling me that I was a woman when I'm very much not one was very difficult for me, especially on that day.
Absolutely. And I'm also wondering, do you feel like this kind of exclusivity undermines some of the more positive activist messages and intentions behind the protests? You know, so speaking out against Trump, essentially?
On one hand, yes. On the other hand, it was very effective at speaking out against Trump. The symbols that were used were very much symbols that Trump has tried to, I don't know if weaponize is the right way to put it, but he's made a lot of statements that have used women's or people's genitalia against them.
So I guess it's kind of that people are using this to kind of fight back, but then it has this unintended consequence in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
And so also you've been quite outspoken about this on Twitter. Do you think you've had productive dialogue about this with people online or has there been some negative feedback?
Yeah, I've had some pretty productive feedback, but I've also had some negative feedback. I've gotten a fair bit of hate mail and things like that, which is a pretty common occurrence when I speak out about these things. One thing that I did notice was I got a lot of people coming to me and saying that I make them feel guilty for being cisgender or that I make them feel guilty for being middle class or, you know, any form of privilege. And I did have to, you know, start another thread on Twitter and pull people in a little bit and just say, hey, you probably need to, you know, consider why you're feeling uncomfortable because, you know, feeling uncomfortable for your privilege is in no way equivalent to trans people experiencing the violence that we experience, or, you know, people of colour experiencing the violence that they experience, etc.
I guess people are just kind of maybe feeling challenged and uncomfortable because of that, and maybe reacting in a defensive sort of way, but that's not the most, ultimately the most productive way to be able to go forward with stuff like this. Now, so a similar situation occurred a few years ago at the University of Auckland when for Women's Fest, the women's rights officers held an Ice Your Own Vagina cupcake event. I was wondering, did you hear about this?
I think I must still be living in Australia at that time. I don't remember anything about this.
Right, yeah, it was like...
It sounds a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, there was definitely a bit of controversy on campus about it, and people were very critical of it. So, and I guess it's a similar scenario where people, you know, they want to express their feminist activism through vaginal imagery, which gets understandable backlash because it's, you know, an exclusive expression of the female gender. But then there's backlash to the backlash because people are complaining that their expressions of their bodies as women are being policed or censored or whatever. I think that this kind of misses the point. I'm just wondering, what do you think about that backlash to the backlash?
Oh gosh, this is getting really convoluted. I think everyone is naturally going to have different opinions and different feelings about this sort of thing, and when it comes to this particular issue where we're talking about what are the symbols of womanhood, what are the symbols of gender, is gender even real, is it a social construct, who knows? When we're talking about this, it's, I think, a lot more of an emotive debate than if we were talking about another issue. And so it's going to get messy and it's going to get heated and people are going to get frustrated. And I think we need to honour those feelings that people are having. I think they're all valid feelings. You know, even the people who are upset that there's backlash, that's still, you know, a valid feeling. Maybe they do need to consider why they're upset. Maybe they do need to consider what about this is making them uncomfortable, because the people who are expressing this particular discomfort with genitalia being used as a gendered thing, they are experiencing this degree of hurt that I don't think cisgender people are experiencing. I truly don't believe that, you know, this comes with the added dysphoria or the added, you know, you are wrong and everything is wrong that you do.
And so finally, I was just wondering, what steps can white cisgendered females take to be more sensitive to an issue like this?
I guess I've spoken at a few conferences about this, and the best thing I can really say is just don't associate genitalia or reproductive organs with any particular gender, because that's not the case for all of us. You know, there are some cisgender women who don't have uteruses, and yet some feminists consider having a period to be the most womanly thing out there. And so it's not just excluding transgender people who might have different genitals, but it's excluding, you know, some cisgender women as well. And I think we've moved past a point in society where we need to be defining ourselves by what body parts we have. I think, you know, what's in our pants isn't necessarily the biggest issue out there. It definitely can add to the violence that we experience in different ways. But yeah, I guess just talk to transgender people, talk to people about what they think. A lot of women don't have uteruses, and those women are not necessarily trans women. And then a lot of men have uteruses and have periods. And I think, you know, feminism was really good until a point where it just refuses to move past the fact that not all of us have these, you know, gendered sex organs. And I think the whole movement needs to start, or stop rather, you know, defining people by our genitalia, because I have a uterus and I have periods. I am very much not a woman. Yeah, I don't think we should be defining things like this anymore. I think we've moved past that, and I think it's time to move into the 21st century with our feminism.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.